Town board's carrying out the work. Please be quiet, and if you want to address the town board, raise your hand. Everybody get a copy of the minutes?
Yes.
And admissions and corrections to the minutes? Motion to accept the minutes, consent? Thank you, sir. Second? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries. Got supervisor's report? Thank you. Any question? Motion to accept the supervisor's report?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Public hearing on dump lot will start at 8:00. Or 7:54. Open to the public.
Here, you explain the rules?
What?
You explain the rules?
No rules, they got as long as they want.
Can you express your opinion now, or?
Yeah, so it is a public hearing.
Well, I have it written down, so you're not going to like me. Can I read it?
Go ahead.
All right.
The public hearing is about, to hear your opinion.
Oh, I don't want to take about 8 minutes. Okay. Now, this is about the last meeting, for the record. In regard to the town board meeting of 7/8/13, quoting newspaper edition of 7/11/13, Mr. Keller apparently, that's your quote, quote you, apparently the board expressed landfills and fracking waste aren't as important as they were. I believe they are very important and should remain the law. Mr. Keller also said the law draws from the European legal system, and I believe Ronnie Bass's concern is right, that the complainant is responsible for legal fees, even if they file a reasonable complaint. What's the problem with the American system? Also, she is right about how far the law could reach, and the resident quoted also said he doesn't think it's unreasonable to take the law to extreme and to consider the consequences before adopting it. As far as fines and the commercial fine should be higher than a resident, and also the anti-dumping laws should exist, even though the dump site does not.
Thank you. Anyone else? Go ahead.
I just have a question, or sort of a concern. The notice in the paper for this public hearing, which was published on August 1st in our local newspaper, stated that the new copy of the law would be available at the town hall. And my understanding is it was only available at 1 p.m. today, and that really doesn't give people time to read it and see what changes there might have been and prepare time to think about it. And I'm worried because, you know, everybody agrees that this is an important law and something that should be put into effect, but the if you don't give people the opportunity to really review it before the hearing, the manual on the town law, by by the Association of Towns states that if you don't follow procedures correctly, a court might find the law itself unenforceable, either in whole and in part. And to that, the town law does say that the public notice should have a description of the law. It shouldn't just say a dump law, it should say what that actually does. And you know, it wasn't available at the town hall, and there was nothing in the paper that told people what the law was about, so.
I talked to Lori from the Association of Towns today. Did you ever talk to her?
This is in the, I'll just read the paragraph. The town must adhere meticulously to the procedure outlined in Town Law Section 6.6.
And what is
if
that?
If the ordinance
Go back.
Is not
what,
adopted.
What is that 6.6? What does the law say?
What it says is that, sorry, no, that was Section 6.6 of the Association of Towns Town Law Manual. It was referring to is Section 130 of Town Law.
What's it say?
Which says that the town clerk should give notice of the hearing of a publication of a notice and in general terms, let's see.
Read the whole thing, please.
Okay,
read
the town clerk please. Shall give notice of such hearing by the publication of a notice in at least one newspaper circulating in the town, specifying the time, when, and the place where such hearing will be held, and in general terms, describing the proposed ordinance. And that's the part that you didn't have, describing, general terms, describing the proposed ordinance, which is more of a problem because it wasn't available here to read ahead of time. So, I mean, the consequence, there are two consequences. One is that people who aren't following this close, you know, like I do and some other people do, won't necessarily know what it means to them, but also, according to the Association of Towns Town Law Manual, as I said before, if you don't follow the step-by-step procedures, a court might find the law unenforceable, either in whole or in part. I mean, somebody could, waste management who wants to come in and put a landfill here could come before the court, a higher court perhaps, and say the law really isn't valid because the public hearing didn't inform people about what it was for, so you've got a relatively small number of people here tonight.
What, you're going to get anywhere to come on? Pardon?
I was just talking about my public notice.
Yeah.
It's just, I didn't describe it, but as far as law, I believe law is available. I mean, we've had it in the paper for at least 2 months.
Heather, there was a new version that you gave me. You said you got it at 1 o'clock today.
Yes, but didn't I explain to you that the town attorney explained to me that the only thing that was taken was taken out of it was the nuisance definition.
Right, but that's
there was
a change.
Nothing added to it though.
That's a change. I haven't had time to read it to see if maybe there was something else and. By 1 o'clock today, up until 1 o'clock, or actually when I talked to you at 2 o'clock today, I really didn't know what kind of changes there were going to be. I expected a new version, completely new.
Can you give us an idea approximately how many people came in today looking for a copy of the dump law?
Two. And I explained to both of them exactly what the town attorney told me.
There really isn't much interest.
And I've had, since the last board meeting, I think I had one person come in and pick up the dump law that we had previous. But,
and that's part of my other point, is that there wasn't anything in the paper that said what the law was about. So unless you're one of the few people that come to these meetings regularly or read the, these days, rather lengthy coverage in the Eagle, you don't necessarily know what it means or that it might have any implication to an private individual at all.
Now there's an oxymoron. If they don't read the paper, then how are they going to know about it?
Exactly.
Nancy's going to read it. I don't see it. Go ahead.
Does Tree have a website too for the town?
Certainly.
Is it on the website?
I believe so.
Okay, in this new version, in the 4B, I didn't find it either. And I'd like to see it in there. Prohibiting landfills, or is dump going to be considered a landfill?
Well, it's in the original. You want to take a note?
No, I want to. It's a stipulate no landfills. No landfills, no dump.
Under definitions, under A, it says dump means a place used for disposal and or leaving of paper, garbage, rubbish,
okay, trash. That's a landfill.
So that's pretty much a landfill.
Somebody's going to try to get away with it.
guess everything's a matter of interpretation, right?
Well, Jerry, you had the right thing in the first place, landfill, and don't dump it, so.
Well, Ron.
Just to clarify, you said that the new law was on the website, and it wasn't as of last night.
It isn't on the website, no. It's the public hearing notice is on the website, but the.
Should she ask, I thought.
It is on. I don't have access to email that to Tom Darkler, because I don't have that in my computer.
No, that's okay.
So that's not my fault.
I'm
I'm not saying it's God's fault either. I'm just saying it is states and association of towns, and they state that you don't have to put everything on the town website.
I was just clarifying Beaver's statement.
He
said, all right, on the
I'm
website.
Just saying that. It is stated that you don't. We have talked to the association of towns attorney.
I thought you were talking about the notification of the meetings. That's what you were talking about.
So what you're concerned about is after they get everything settled and pass the law, that somebody's going to come along and say it's not valid. Is that what you're saying?
That could happen.
Yeah.
It could happen.
It happens all the time. That's why they
have
lawyers.
But it's filed with the Secretary of State. If it's filed with the Secretary of State, it is a valid law. Correct. Can you comment on that?
Well, if you file it with the Secretary of State, it takes effect immediately. I'm not going to say whether it's valid or not, because somebody can bring a challenge to it. If it gets knocked down, it gets knocked down.
So you can still just rewrite it, right? I mean, or you do it, right?
You can amend it in the future.
You could amend it or what, yes.
Great.
And that's kind of what this was for, was that the next boards, can it gives them a foundation to build off from as the town grows and changes.
They can rescind it.
Yeah, they could rescind it.
I'm actually not speaking on my behalf now. My neighbor, Ralph Rossi, who's an attorney in town, couldn't be here tonight. And he sent me something for the public hearing that he asked me to read.
Well, you just told me this is for your own or for him?
This is for him. This is for Ralph Rossi, not for me. Not on my own behalf. This is Ralph Rossi's statement. I'm just reading it because he couldn't be here. Number one, this should not be a criminal law. This should be a civil law, like the land use law, and have only civil penalties. It is ridiculous that the town is talking about misdemeanor penalties in this proposed statute. Number two, the dump law contains no criminal scientur or mental state standard, such as willfully, knowingly, or intentionally. In essence, you are creating a broad status crime where any property owner is at risk. Three, the exception does not fully exempt activities and protect the citizens of Cambridge from potential abuse. The exception only applies to disposing in two instances, while the proposed statute criminalizes the operation and maintenance of dumps, dumping, depositing, temporary accumulating, and temporary storage of materials. Each and every one of those activities should be in the exemption for farmers and citizens. Four, the proposed dump law is overbroad and unconstitutionally vague. It is not narrowly tailored to its governmental purpose. It basically makes everything to do with any kind of waste, even temporary storage, illegal, and then provides vague exceptions. Five, for example, none of the following terms are defined. The operations and maintenance of dumps, in the restrictions sections, paper, in the definitions, garbage, in the definitions, rubbish, in the definitions, trash, in the definitions, waste, in the definitions, as distinguished from solid waste and hazardous waste, sewage, toxic substances, as distinguished from toxic chemicals, the dumping of, disposal of any of the previously defined items in the restrictions section, and temporary accumulating of and temporary storage of in the restrictions. Six, the definition of a nuisance is vastly overbroad. Can a person still smoke indoors in Cambridge and not apparently used in the proposed statute? Seven, there is a reference to periodic inspections by the enforcement officer that are not described anywhere in the bill and likely violative of the Fourth Amendment. Eight, there is a technical drafting problem as reference to 6 NYCRR 360 is to a repealed statute. That section of the regulations has been renumbered as 6 NYCRR 361.1 et sec. Those two references are not legally the same. 9, the dump law impermissibly interferes with interstate commerce and basically outlaws new manufacturing in the town, even if in compliance with state and federal law. 10, it is outrageous and unheard of for a taxpayer to have to bear the burden of the town's attorney's fees if they lose a case brought against them by the town. This impermissibly interferes with the citizen's due process rights. It is as if the law is written to benefit the town attorney. For example, why is the expensive town attorney consulted in the first instance? Why can't the enforcement officer make the initial determination? 11, it is similarly unheard of to try to make a citizen indemnify the town if it botches a cleanup effort or damages property. That negligence liability remains with the town per case law, even if it is in the statute. And 12, 10 days is an unreasonably short period of time for a homeowner to pay thousands of dollars in cleanup fees. Lyle Faye Rossi.
And he asked me to give a copy to
Who was that submitted? Ralph Rossi, who lives in Cambridge, an attorney.
Anyone else? Public hearing is closed at 8:10. Want to vote on it?
Sure.
Make a motion.
I move to pass dump on as is.
Second?
Second.
Heather, do a roll call vote, please.
Councilman McMurray?
Yes.
Councilman Skip?
Yes.
Councilman Ford?
Yes.
Councilman Fedler?
Yes, but I'd like to just make a comment about the lawyers. With the judges and with the courts, many people were in here and they said that they thought the law was okay and it was for the courts to do the rest of the nitpicking. And we've had lawyers in here in favor of it and we've had lawyers submit something against it. So it just shows that the judicial system will play its part in the end. But yes, I do vote for the law that, as it stands.
Scott. Rice or Watkins?
If I may, before you do your final vote, perhaps you want to amend your resolution or your motion for the resolution to make sure you include State Environmental Quality Review Act compliance and Washington County Planning Board compliance. If you add that into what you're proposing, you'll cover both sides of that aspect before you vote on the resolution. You do need to make mention of that.
Do you want us to rescind that first motion? Or just amend it?
You can do it structurally as you want, if it's a rescission or an amendment, but you do need in your final resolution, the one that you intend to vote on, mention of compliance with State Environmental Quality Review Act and Washington County Planning Board, if it applies to the Washington, if it has to go before the Washington County Planning Board. So please add that, or rescind and create a new one, amend how you want to vote. You need to make sure both of those are included before you do your vote.
Make the motion. Rob?
Rob.
Do you have to amend it?
To be so amended, it's got to explain by the county and the city.
That was State Environmental.
SEQRA, I believe it is, State Environmental Quality Review Act.
Excuse me.
And then also Washington County Planning Board.
Right.
Skip applicable.
Motion to amend the resolution.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 You need to vote.
Go back to vote and amend the resolution.
Who seconded the, was it Cassie?
The amendment, yes.
The amendment, yes. Councilman McMurray?
Yes.
Councilman Skip?
Yes.
Councilman Ford?
Yes.
Councilwoman Bedler?
Yes.
And Supervisor Watkins?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Mangus.
This last concern here, can't you folks take that into consideration and work it in with the concerns about.
This has been going on for 4 months.
I know.
If there was a concern that gentleman had, he should have showed up. He wasted the last month to do it. It'll be taken under consideration. Like Robbie said, Mr. McMurray said, that you can take and build on this.
A couple of weeks ago, I happened to catch on the 10 o'clock news that Albany County is looking to pass a law against spreading this brine on ice and snow, because that's what they're looking to do with it, just like they did with the PCBs 35, 40 years ago.
On the road, you mean?
Yes. Yep. So they're looking to create a dual purpose thing out of these chemicals. And, Albany County is right on top. It was on the news. It was on the 10 o'clock news. I just happened to catch it. They're looking for places to get rid of this stuff, you know. And
back in the 1970s, it's called Black 7, South Loop 4. The state of New York went into what they call it, a dike, and started screening material out of it, and they stockpiled over 10,000 cubic yards of it. 2 years later, they tested it. They had the people in Albany test it. It was contaminated with PCBs. That 10,000 yards of that contaminated stuff is in a ditch up behind the state facility in Fort Edward on Burgoyne Avenue. Just because somebody one day says something is contaminated doesn't mean that 5 years down the road they're going to find that there's something wrong with it.
Well, weren't they at one time talking about spreading that in dirt roads?
Yes. Yes, my friend. Yes.
I was going to say. Does the town presently have a no littering, you know, like the
state
highway
does.
And all
state
that?
Does.
Yeah, well, that would take care of a lot of that for the private, you know, for the residents, because they just go along and throw everything out of the cars. So that should be enforced.
Did you talk to the assessor this week?
Did I talk to him?
The interviews run the 27th at 10 o'clock for the assessment.
Yes, correct.
We got how many applicants so far?
We have 7.
That's an open meeting?
Yes, it is. Sure. Everything's open here.
I thought so, but I'm not sure.
No, no problem at all. Town clerk?
I have 2 thank you notes I'd like to read. Dear Town and Cambridge family, thank you for the beautiful flower arrangement. We greatly appreciated your generosity and support during this difficult time, and it was Bob, Jason, and Dan Hamilton. Town and Cambridge family, we'd like to thank you for the decorative planter you sent at the time of my brother's passing. Thank you, Alan, Astrid, and family. And then I have... today was the first day of hunting licenses, and I had approximately 10 licenses that we sold today. And then on August 22nd, the town clerk's office will be closed I have no one to fill in that day, and I'll be on vacation that week. And
how's your new hours work?
Good.
Everything going okay?
Very good.
No complaints?
No complaints. I discussed with some of the town board members to possibly make the new hours permanent.
Fine. It's your position.
I believe that the hours are working good, and with the cutback with no dump stickers, it seems to be working good. And if at tax time I find that it's a problem, I'll just stay late or come in early.
You set your own hours, Heather.
What are the hours on? 95 or 93?
93, Monday through Wednesday, and Thursday is 12 to 6.
Cassie, anything going on in your world?
I don't think so.
Douglas?
Also.
No, don't. No. Tell them about the blacktopping that you complained about.
That was yours.
Oh, the blacktopping.
They probably most of you have noticed they
paved Route 22, and they started milling Route 372 today to resurface Route 372, I believe, to Doc Brown's corner.
You're 100% right.
They did that today?
No.
They started milling.
Oh.
You know, they're headed in our direction.
They're going to make it all the way to the corner, because the signs are going to be 500 feet shorter.
Well, I don't think they'll stop it on the corner. Again, they're going to take that corner and cut that corner back the state anticipates before they do the work on it. But talk to the engineer today, and if they can find some money, they're going to do what they call a twin leveling course on that and take some of the bumps out of it. They'll cut it out of the school also. If they find the funding, we can't guarantee anything.
You mean by the old Peterson Derby place?
Yes. No, up to the bottom of the Schoolhouse Hill, up to the Stevenson Road. Yeah. Mr. Skip, you got any correspondence?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Rob?
I'm all set.
You got Alan's report?
Yes, I do. Before I start Alan's report, so I don't forget.
Is he okay?
He is fine.
Okay.
Yeah. There was, Alan had requested that the board make a resolution. There has been a problem. The Hill Lane that's in the town of Cambridge, he's requesting that it be renamed to Reynolds Lane. There's also a Hill Lane in the town of White Creek, and there's been an issue with the rescue squad. Instead of going to the one in the town of White Creek, they've been going to the one in the town of Cambridge, and there's no residents on the one in the town of Cambridge. And because there's two in the same zip code, the 12816, he's cleared it with the emergency service from the county, and they said the board just needs to make a resolution so that it can go into effect.
Let's do this. Let's make it Grace Reynolds Lane. She's the only one lives there.
Ellie lives there.
With his son. And the daughter doesn't live there, right? Grace is the one that asked her to change this for her. She had proud people that apparently couldn't find her.
Well, is there anybody that lives on this hill, Lane?
No. That's why the county control said that it was okay if we switched the name, because there are no residents. There is no one who lives on that road.
Oh, well, so why don't we just...
The address is actually Brown's Road.
So why name it at all?
It's a town highway.
It was already named.
The town highway.
It needs to be changed.
What's the driveway up until it becomes Hill Lane?
It goes all the way over to Doc, behind Doc Pressler's house. So you know where Doc Pressler is over on Irish Lane. It goes all the way over there.
Yeah. But it leaves Reynolds Road and goes, is that where Hill Lane begins? Is on
Reynolds
Road?
Yeah. That intersection with the driveway. Motion to...
So we're going to go with a Reynolds Road and a Reynolds Lane?
Yes.
Reynolds Lane. Yes.
Reynolds Lane.
That was presented. Okay.
The 911 or whatever
people
were aware of that.
They're fine with that. Okay.
Yeah.
As long as they're okay
with
that.
Alice
checked with the county and everything.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. This is a town road?
Yes.
This hill lane?
Yes.
Where does it go?
It was told us it doesn't go anywhere. Yeah. There's like 17 of them in the town. They go nowhere.
Can we abandon it?
We tried it once. Mr. Burt was on the town board at that time. We tried that once. We got some people. Mr. Cooley,
but this is something that doesn't affect anybody.
It doesn't affect anybody. Does the person live on?
The only thing it affects is it avoids the confusion that they've been having with 911 with the ambulance here.
Well, let's get that resolution in there first, and then you can talk about that in a minute. I make a resolution. We change the name on Hill Lane to Reynolds Lane.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Now you can argue.
There you go. Before we forget to do it.
Obviously there's people that own property on either side of that.
No.
Road.
No.
That lane.
No. She owns both sides of the road.
Excuse me?
She owns both sides of the road.
Who's she?
She's Grace Reynolds.
Okay. So in the event that Mrs. Reynolds ever wanted to sell any property, the town would be responsible. Technically, you could dump a driveway or 10 driveways out onto this hill lane.
There's a lot of properties in the town like that.
17 of
them. Yeah, but there's people that live on them.
Usually one person.
This doesn't have any.
But there's nothing to say that she can't. I mean, yes, you're right, but there are a lot of lanes in the town where people own both sides of the road, and the town still has to maintain it. Even with just one residence, it could end up down the line. It could end up being multiple incidences.
Well, but so if the town owns this, and it doesn't affect anybody, I mean, the landowner doesn't, Mrs. Reynolds doesn't own the lien, right?
No.
So why don't we just get rid of it?
Mr. Kelly, would you?
No, I don't believe you can do that.
No, we go ahead.
Gary, if I may, simply, it's not that easy.
Okay. Okay, it just, you know, because there wasn't any homes involved on it, I thought.
You're using the term, we abandon it. The answer to that is yes. The question becomes, how long do you need to leave it fallow, for lack of a better term, before it's officially determined to be abandoned?
Mm-hmm.
There's also qualified, I think it's qualified abandonment, which there's regulations that have to be done in order to get that designation to a piece of land or a road or otherwise. It starts at the county level. It's a whole process.
Yeah.
It's not as simply as, we're just not going to touch it anymore, and that's it. And then that becomes the definitive determination.
I wonder if we don't do anything with this road now, right? So it's been...
We grade it.
Oh, we do grade it.
We pile the snow on it.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
I guess I'm lost. I guess I've only been on that road once. And I don't think I know
where you're... I'll give you the paperwork on the road situation.
Go ahead.
You can get a better understanding.
I'm under the understanding that when you abandon a road, if there was an old foundation there, you had to open up the road again if there was to be a new house there. Is that right?
Never heard anything about it. The other thing I know is once it's abandoned and turned over to the landowner, they own it. They're responsible for it. I've never heard anything like that. But it's a 6-year process to take an abandoned highway.
Well, if nobody, why are we maintaining that?
It's going to give you a paperwork thing enough.
Because what I'm saying is I built a house where the old road is, but the old road was abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
It now ends on Horton Road Extension by Marky Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
Visible right up through there where it comes. Now, if I wanted that road reopened, I put in another driveway. But if I wanted that road reopened, it's my understanding that the town has to reopen it.
Not what I was told. Once it's abandoned, the landowner owns it.
I mean, there's an old foundation up there where brown owls live.
Mm-hmm. But once it's abandoned and given back to the property owner, the town loses all authority and all.
I don't know how the law reads. That was just hearsay, you know. But
that's what I was told by the lawyer.
Yeah,
not him either.
Well, I'm still confused because there is no home on this land.
No.
So why are we maintaining it?
There are two homes on that land.
Oh, yeah, there are.
Their addresses is Reynolds Road, not Reynolds or not.
Okay, so people do use this lane.
Yes.
I see. Okay, that's all. I thought there was just there was nothing there, and
you thought it just went out to the middle of a field and came back.
Well, pretty much, yeah, a dead zone, I guess.
Most of them, old lanes. Back in the horse and buggy days, they all come out someplace.
Yeah, I know.
You wanted to have Mr. Horton get really upset. Go back to what Mr. Harrington just said. The time that you're going to open up that lane, it goes up to off of behind
Amber's.
Yes.
Yeah.
It comes out behind her house, behind Smith's. It comes out behind Amber Horton's house. They're all over the town. Every town has them in them. And a lot of superintendent highways and a lot of supervisors have been trying to give them back to landowners. They don't want to do that.
I guess I misunderstood.
Well, they're getting driveways plowed and they're getting driveways plowed and repaired our tax dollars.
Yeah, I understand that.
Clerk to the planning board.
Well, I answer the highway report first, then I'll do it.
Okay.
That's all right. Ditch to replace culverts on Kenyon dirt, where they had towns with washouts and graded and helped with the village. Worked on areas of shoulders from washouts in various spots, replaced the air conditioner compressor and the loader. Chuck has spent a lot of time working with the village to get ready for paving Main Street and Route 22. Patched in culverts that have settled, as well as cold patching on Gannon and Kenyon Roads. Helped Town of Jackson pave a section of Kenyon Hill Road. Chip sealed Bell Road with help hauling stone from Easton, White Creek, Jackson, and the village. And all blacktop roads have been mowed twice and will be getting dirt roads mowed down.
Thank you.
What does chip seal mean?
It's an old-fashioned oil and stone. You spray oil and then put the stones on it.
Okay.
That's why you have stones flying all over the place for a couple days.
Yep. That Bell Road is all done? Have you been on it?
No, I haven't.
Me neither.
Planning board report for July and August of 2013. There was no official planning board meeting for July 2013 because there wasn't a quorum present to conduct the business. August 2013, the Town of Cambridge Planning Board met August 1st, 2013, 7:30 p.m. at the Town Hall with five members present and two people from the public. There was one item of business before the board. Jacqueline Hersey, who owns 18.48 acres on County Route 60, identified tax map 262.1-10, presented a sketch plan for subdivision. Ms. Hersey is proposing to subdivide approximately 9 to 10 acres to sell to adjacent neighbor Randy Hamilton. She will retain the remaining acreage since it contains her home. The sketch plan was approved by the board and she was directed to proceed with the survey. Respectfully submitted, Sally Eddy.
That's it.
That's it.
Thank you. Mr. Davis, how are you making out with the mobile home?
The extension that I put on it was up yesterday. And I haven't been back.
How do you want to proceed?
It's not there.
Hmm?
It's not sitting there.
Still sitting there?
No, it's not.
It's not?
It wasn't sitting there when I came up through. It's not there, is it, Paul? No, I didn't think so. Yeah, I didn't see it.
I was just wondering if Mr. Davis got this letter from Mr. Jordan. I'd like to show it to you if you guys didn't got it.
We got it. The lawyer, our lawyer has it in her saying that he's taking care of it. He's been responding to it. Correct?
Well, since nobody knew, I'm pretty sure I didn't see it there when I looked coming over, right? It's gone.
And Scott, you got a copy of all of the communications?
I tried to get it over the weekend. I didn't realize that I was able to get through the second door. I didn't know where the key was. I can get in the building, but not in to pick up the paperwork. So I got the paperwork tonight, and I read it. We need to have a discussion.
You're doing a correspondence with your lawyer?
I would suggest that we have an executive session to discuss the situation, and then we can move forward.
Okay.
You can do that whenever you want to.
You got a resolution for a GCAP grant?
I do, yes. Whereas an invitation to apply for a JCAP grant has been extended to Honorable Janet S. DiCarlo, Cambridge Town Judge, by the Office of Court Administration, it is hereby resolved that said invitation be approved by the town board and that the town justice apply for $5,000 of this grant. Whereas the following improvements are proposed. Update to the SEI court operating program. Shelving for the archive building for the additional records. Painting of the inside of the archives with waterproof cement paint. And dehumidifiers for the archives, large capacity. And it's been requested that you sign.
I make a motion that you had applied for the grant.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. There's supposed to be someone here from the fire department tonight. Apparently didn't show up. They're asking us first. Do you know anything about that? Probably not.
For the capital campaign for the firehouse?
Yes.
I'm
I didn't know if you were the
representative.
I didn't know if you were the representative or what.
I can wait till Paul got it.
Okay. They assured me there'd be somebody here. Heather, do you have any other communications? You have anything from Senator?
Yes, I do. From Wayne Marshall. sorry. New Yorkers are tangled up in at least 12 miles of rules, regulations, and red tape. Guess who pays for all the government red tape? You do. A chair of the Senate's Administrative Regulations Review Commission. I am taking part in a historic bipartisan effort to revise our cut Albany's costly job-killing rules, regulations, red tape, and unfunded mandates that have driven up New York State taxes and increased our cost of living. Right now, I am working to identify 1,000 rules, regulations, red tape, and unfunded mandates, and will submit this list to the governor by fall. I need you to help in this important effort. Please email your ideas for state rules, regulations, red tape, and unfunded mandates that should be revised or cut to Marshawn at NewYorkSenate.gov. New Yorkers are overtaxed, overburdened, and overregulated. With your help, we can deliver real regulatory relief that will make our state a more affordable place for families. Thank you. Sincerely, Catherine Marshawn, New York State Senator, 43rd District. And then we also have her number here, too, if anybody's interested. And I can, you want me to just read the number?
Yeah, read the
so
number.
She can put it in the paper. Yeah. It's 455-2381.
This past month, Mr. Skiff and I were, asked to attend a meeting with the people who own the Merrick Clone Hospital, the owners, the mayor, code enforcement person,
trustee.
Well,
Jerry
Wilk,
trustee.
They're anticipating selling this and making it into a rehab for veterans. With self-containing themselves and adding to the community. They're asking for support for a grant to try to get to do the rehab, start the facility. It's quite extensive what they plan on doing with it. And the young lady that's presenting the information is very knowledgeable. Ashley, did the village have the meeting yet?
Yes.
Did they bring that up? Okay. Unfinished business. A couple years ago, the planning board asked us to look at setbacks. Their confusion was where they started the road. It's quite easy. It starts the center line at 70 feet, 50 feet for the rest of the boundaries around it.
I'm sorry, can you speak up a bit? I can't hear you.
70 feet from the center line of the road and 50 feet from all the other boundaries. As long as it doesn't conflict with not making it buildable or something to do with the building permit or the building code, they asked if they can do something with it.
Are we going to start with the rules they have in place?
It was 70 feet from the center of the road?
Yes.
And 50 feet from the border lines?
From all of the boundaries. All other boundaries.
Okay. What about the driveway?
As far as?
I think they recommended a 50-foot wide driveway for emergency vehicles.
50 feet
wide?
15 feet, maybe, but.
It's a really big car.
That only applies if the driveway has got curves in it and so forth, so you can't see one after the other. Like over there to yeah. That one on your road.
So is there a minimum width for a driveway?
Oh, you could. Minimum feet, no.
No width, minimum width?
Minimum width for where you have to turn off. In other words, if your driveway is 20 feet, most culverts are 20 feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your driveway is 20 feet. Where the turnoff is going to, or where the bypass is going to be, that's got to be twice that.
It's 40.
So the two vehicles go together. But that only pertains if you can't see from the road to the house.
So that would fall under site plan review. That would fall under site plan review then.
I would say so. They should look at all the lights, all sites anyhow, because we get some lulus way back like that. The one on North Road there, it's a nice driveway. Don't get me wrong.
He did that twice, didn't he? He had to widen that out.
Oh, yeah.
He went back and widened it out some more.
Yeah. I had him change, make two bypasses in that. so that they could get by if they had to. He wasn't happy, but that was the deal.
So what are you going to pass on to the planning board? Have them come back to us and tell them we're proposing, this is what we're proposing?
This is what they asked us to
do. And this is what we're going to tell them we want to do. 70 feet from the center line of the road and 50 feet from all other boundaries, as long as it doesn't hurt and making it not an unbuildable lot.
Sounds
reasonable to me.
That's what they recommended, then. They're the planning board, you know.
Then the 70 feet all the way around is what they proposed.
That wouldn't be doable, would it?
In some lots, no. 205 by 205 an acre.
208.
208, whatever.
208.7. Okay.
Yes, Scott.
Not to be a stickler, but what if you own two parcels?
Side by side.
What's your set? Where does the setback start? Outer border or the one that's contiguous?
That's why we have you.
Just asking a question.
Well, I mean, that might fall under borderline adjustment.
He's talking about.
There's a process that you can use to do something like that with reforming deeds and various things, but I'm just asking.
Yeah.
While you're formulating the idea right now, see that? Right above the supervisor's head, consider that two parcels.
Yep.
The road is the chair rail, right?
Okay.
At his head, let's just say.
Yep.
So you're going to go 70 feet from the chair rail into the parcel. But if somebody owns the parcel with the gold seal on it, the parcel with the crest on it, 50 foot setback from which border?
It would have to be all the borders. But even just, the interior one.
That's why I'm asking this now, so there's no misconception, because someone could say, well, 50 foot from the interior border, but I own both pieces,
but
I'm looking at the exterior side.
If they could sell either one,
then that's going to change something also.
Or they can combine it into one deed, either one.
They could, yeah.
They could
but if they combine it into one deed and then choose to sell off later, you need to think about some of that in advance, just for formulation purposes. Plenty of people on more than one parcel.
Mm-hmm.
So just think about that. That's my only comment. I'm not trying to kill it, but think about
that.
There's a way
for
what your intent is so that that can be followed throughout the process in case it comes up in the future.
Okay.
I would suggest somebody would be grandfathered if they sold off, if they asked for a subdivision and sold off a piece while having an existing structure, because you're talking about a structure at this point. So they would have to be grandfathered, because I'm asking them to move the structure. If all of a sudden they're less than 50 feet from the border because they subdivided and sold off a parcel, unless that's going to be
something
that has to
be... Well, they wouldn't be allowed to subdivide anything under 50 feet.
Okay.
Right?
Well, you can't build on an angle.
Well, one of the borders is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Again, you got your septic system, your well from your septic system.
Yeah.
Distance from the septic system to the house.
Mm-hmm.
That'll have to be taken into consideration.
From the well to the septic system.
And also how close the septic system is to the boundary, an adjoining boundary.
Yeah.
That's all has to be taken into consideration.
There's a lot of variables there.
Yes. Something for you to think about.
Hey, put this back to planning board, because you said it was put forward to us a couple of years ago. Why don't we ask them for any additional advice? And also ask them to address the question that Scott brought put forward.
Yeah.
And come up with any questions you might have.
Right. We got to work with them.
Right.
And maybe they could look at it at their next meeting, because it's before ours.
I guess my point is, have the discussion about it, get the people's input about it.
Yes.
Because someone's going to think about the exception that nobody's thinking about, and you can address it now versus after the fact.
Yes. That's what we're doing. I'm trying.
Who's going to talk to Eric and make sure they address it?
Heather will. Why?
Did you hear that, Heather? He designated you.
She raised her hand. Did you see her do that?
I think you should.
I can talk to Eric if you want. I have no problem with. I'll see him next week.
See?
I'll talk to Eric.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Under new business, you brought up site plan review. While you're there talking to him, Cassie, run that by him too.
Okay.
See what you think of that. At the county, we're doing budgets. It's that time of year, everybody's doing a budget now. We're doing budget workshops and trying to get a budget in place. We're talking about a 3% increase.
At the county level.
At the county level.
I thought there was a 2% cap.
I thought so too. Mathematical. Mathematical wizards they are. It's fun to watch them do it. Before I go to the privilege of the floor, Scott, do you want to go into executive session to discuss that trailer thing, or do you think you can take care of it?
I would very much like the opportunity to talk to you about what I've got here so that you have a better understanding, and I would ask that Laverne be present also, since he's the code enforcement officer and he's the one who's issued the paperwork. It should only take about 5 minutes. It shouldn't keep everybody here forever.
I need a motion to go into executive session for the reason of a potential litigation. For the lawyer.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Executive session.
You have to. Who's got the key?
All the doors.
Laverne,
you have your keys.
Yeah, but I'm the truck.
Drive the truck in.
Hold the meat in the truck.
Is the dog in your truck, Laverne?
Yeah.
He is?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you want to go out and get his keys?
Yeah. Does someone have to bring the key
as a bigger fundraiser,
for this year.
Yeah, but
But this is something, this is a conversation that Mr. Watkins and I have had in the past. Would the board consider maybe setting a date for a townwide garage sale this year, just to start the process, and hoping that down the road folks would consider that part of a fundraiser?
Well, October would be a good opportune time to do it, because you're going to have people, again, we're going through in and out of the community because you're looking at the leaves and stuff. Well, you'll get more people in the town because you get the leaf users and everybody else.
How is it going to be a fundraiser? Is the people that participate going to donate all the proceeds, a portion? How are you going to do that?
Actually, what I'm suggesting now this year is for the board to consider possibly setting the date of September 28th, 29th, the weekend before Warrensburg's. That would be something to discuss with the Capital Campaign Committee, whether people wanted to make donations or not. That'd be totally voluntary. But one possibility is, if the three towns in the village did set up a weekend like that to, you know, basically become the world's second largest garage sale, is there'd be possibly the mechanism would be that people with a guide would be printed where folks have their garage sale or tag sale, and you know, they may buy a subscription to be part of the program, and that might be their donation.
Good idea.
You know, personally, if I got rid of some of Mrs. Burns' treasures down at the end of the driveway and made $200, I probably would give most of those proceeds to someone.
So it's a voluntary thing.
Yeah, but hoping that, you know, next year with a little bit better planning cycle, you know, in the village, maybe where the new firehouse is going could be set up for vendors to come in and charge them rent and help, you know, take the proceeds from that towards defraying the cost of the fundraising for the firehouse.
They used to do a fireman's carnival, but that went downhill on the liability insurance and everything else that was involved in it. They used to make pretty good money at that, but because of the insurance and all the other stuff that goes on with it.
Shushin's
done that? Yeah, Shushin's been doing that for years.
The weekend before last, Shushin did a one night. Yeah. Great time with Shushin.
Is it going to, will they have to carry an insurance policy to sell the vendor spots in town?
That's something that if that becomes more of a mass gathering permit type of issue with the village and things like that, would be explored by the fire department in the village. But what I'm asking you informally is the town board, would you consider designating, say, the weekend of September 28th, 29th this year as our townwide garage sale day?
Fine. I have no problem with that. I think it's a great idea.
Just to designate it as that?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, we're going to have to.
It's going
to
benefit.
We're going to have to find, you know, come up. All of us are going to have to come up with this money.
Are we trying to do all the towns together at the same
day? Tomorrow night, Scott Lucy, the village trustee Scott Lucy, and I are going to go to the town of White Creek and basically ask them to do the same thing. Town of Jackson met last week. But as we know, they're so progressive, they can pick up and do it within a one-month cycle.
Yes.
So
they haven't committed themselves?
Jackson's, we had the meeting last Thursday night. Jackson's town board meeting was Wednesday night. So, and they are within the catchment area for the fire department. But, you know, I'm kind of hoping that informally, you know, if we have three towns and a village designate this year, next year we'll have a longer planning cycle. Mm-hmm. And if we have to go through liability insurance, mass gathering permits, mm-hmm. things like that, but create, you know, the world's second largest garage. Mm-hmm. And maybe, since we do live in a capital society, get some of those vendors that normally go up to Warrensburg, get them here so that they can sell more products and help raise that money without having to go to taxpayers directly.
Are they working to reduce the cost of that at all, Ted, do you know?
I think that the reality of it is when they go through the iterations from an 11,000 square foot facility, I think it will be scaled back quite a bit. And I know several of you folks have attended.
Yeah, Cassie and I went to the meetings. I hadn't really seen anything in the paper or heard anything about if they had reduced it, the square footage or the cost.
I think one of the biggest hurdles for jobs is going to be communication, getting press releases out to folks, making sure that everybody knows what's going on with that. And I'm not sure that has been met so far.
Heather, the week before the 20th, you put something in the paper for it?
Did they talk about, I know I called Val Reagan and I told her that there was a gentleman that wanted to donate services or product. Did they discuss that at all?
There has been some discussion about going to basically corporate sponsorship or folks that are willing basically at this point to provide seed money to get the project.
Well, he wasn't really talking about seed money. He was talking about
equipment
and products and skill. And have the community donate that, and that's I talked to her about that. Is he wanted to donate? I believe it was gravel or equipment. I believe it was gravel to get driveways and stuff put in. He was hoping if he did that and that became public, that people would donate, plumbing supplies, or if the plumber would put time in, or an electrician, or whatnot. Did they discuss it from that aspect, not from corporate sponsors? His goal was to have local people come in. They were going to check into it and see if that was even feasible. Did it come up?
Did you get the name of the gentleman to Mary Reagan? She's aware of it. That wasn't in particular discussed last Thursday night, but obviously any donation of skills or products will probably factor into the whole project at some point.
Ted, I don't know if you know this. Are they mandated to have their own brand new building, or can they rehab an existing building, or could they add space onto the fancy bus garage?
They have looked into the former Agrimark building was one potential, which
renovate that.
Vermont Timber Frames had been in, and now the folks of the 12 tribes have occupied that. One of the problems with rehabbing or repurposing some buildings is that post-Hurricane Katrina, the standards have risen so much that some of the rehab costs are higher than new construction. I hope that some building would become available, or the bus garage. I think one of the issues, everybody keeps looking at what Greenwich has gone through, voting it down the last three times, and that, the reality is nobody's going to get the Cadillac building.
But the other part of the reality is the only way fire departments, they're not volunteers, they're volunteer departments, but they're run by the villages. The only revenue they get is through tax dollars and through coin drops, carnivals, any way they can do it, because that's the only revenue they get. They don't get money like the rescue squad or something else. They don't third person bill. They don't have that option. And again, the state sets up such rigid standards for the protection, the training, and the equipment they have to use. It's ridiculous. And keep that equipment up and just keep the people trained and up to standard.
Does our fire department get it from the hamlet of Jackson, the hamlet of White Creek, and the village of Cambridge?
Yes. White Creek has their own, the fire department over there, one truck I think they have.
They have their own fire department.
They have one truck, I believe. But you got Buskirk down there, which has two or three trucks, and that's
Jackson's got
Shushan.
Yeah.
Town of Jackson's covered by Shushan, parts of Salem, Cambridge, and parts of Greenwich Fire.
Easton as well.
Exactly. It's because there aren't designated fire districts. Salem has just gone to a fire district, which is a whole another layer of government. And
isn't Cambridge new parts of Burlington too, Vermont?
We do. That's what they call the section up on Bates Road and out Black Hole Hollow. It's the Arlington area, but they cover it because they can access it.
You can't come in from the other side, can you?
No. No, they had that in the presentations.
lanes that don't go through the mountains.
Right. There's trails somewhere, but you're not going to fire truck through there, that's for sure. ATV.
So, Cass, are you going to go to the meeting? Keep us informed. Thank you. Anybody else?
So then that's what we're going to do is we're going to put an ad in the papers stating there's a...
Week before the 28th of September.
Week before the 28th or the week before Columbus Day weekend?
The week of the weekend of the 28th and 29th.
What days that fall on?
Saturday and Sunday.
Right, so weekend.
Weekend
before Columbus Day weekend.
I'm not with today, I'm sorry.
Weekend before Columbus Day weekend?
I believe so.
If you look at that calendar right there, 7 is grayed out or blued out. I think that's Columbus Day.
It's right behind you. Looks like
you want that the week before, you want the another week before, so you have like 10 days notice.
That's
13.
Columbus Day weekend is in October.
Yeah.
That's when Warrensburg is.
Yeah, I see.
Oh, that's, you're 2 weeks ahead. I thought you were trying to hit the week before.
Let's see, because we're going to have it 20.
I just bring my calendar. Columbus Day weekend is 2 weeks later. The Warrensburg
is the week before?
October 5th and 6th. So I think the 12th and the 13th are Columbus Day. Columbus Day.
2 weeks before Columbus Day, 1 week before Warrensburg.
Correct. Okay.
Well, maybe 2 weeks put it in.
I think that avoids the conflict with possibly the St. Patrick's tag sale, which is generally St. Patrick's, or you might know the answer there, Don. But I believe St. Patrick's has their tag sale Columbus Day weekend.
They do. They have a nice King social and tag sale.
This is a church in
Cambridge? Patrick's Church.
So it's 2 weeks before then.
Is that something they do annually?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They have an ice cream social and a tank sale.
Oh. So it shouldn't conflict with them and the leaf peeper traffic that comes through that week.
And there's, is there a committee or somebody that you can contact for more information? Or
we don't have a chairperson yet for that committee, for the capital campaign committee.
The way Alan talked to me, I thought he was. Dupree.
He certainly can have the job. the village officials can't be involved with fundraising.
Right. It's a conflict of interest.
I wonder what that means involved.
As far as what?
Gerald's interested in the job.
No, I was thinking that, I could volunteer my time to sell some stuff, but if you're saying that you can't do that.
The village officials can't, because the village owns the fire department.
Oh, I see, okay.
Funds it.
You can't raise money for yourself.
And the fire company owns
the apparatus. Yeah, the apparatus.
Right. And they have a procedure where every piece of equipment, the village buys one, and then the next cycle, the fire department buys. Yeah. So.
But this time around, you're just kind of trying to get the idea of a townwide sale rolling, and then next year you'll be having the advertisement and the flyers and all that. So.
Correct.
That's what I thought.
Kind of ease into it. And, what's better than three towns and a village?
You get the townwide sale, and then next year you tap on it. Since we're having another second annual town sale, we want to raise money.
Yeah.
A little more experience when you get the fire hose built.
Did they look, that was another idea that came up, is using the existing building for the training and the classes. That would cut down on some of their...
I think they're looking at all possibilities at this point to lower the cost and lower the size of it. They're hoping for a completion date in 2016 that coincides with the 150th anniversary of the Cambridge Fire Department.
Completion of the fundraising or completion of the building?
completion of the building. So
wow,
we'll
that's
start
a lofty goal.
Start construction by 2015. But you know, one of the realities is the longer the timeline is, the more expensive this building will be.
Robbie, were you here the last time they had a anniversary in the town of Cambridge?
I was.
Was you here?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to be. You're just a little younger than I am. It was quite an event, especially with the firemen. They had all kinds of.
That's when they printed the book,
Bicentennial. That wasn't that long ago.
What's that?
That wasn't that long ago.
77, something like that, 76?
I might have been that old.
No, it was before that. It was before that, because I was still living in the building.
You're talking, don't divulge it, yeah.
I belonged to that party department for 4 years, 5 years until I moved out of the country. Remarkable bunch of people. They still are. Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second? See you next month. Thank you for all coming.
When did you say the next meeting was, Ted?
September 12th, and it's going to be
located here. That's the meeting for the firehouse?
Yeah.
What time? 9:00.